You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the Land, Air, Water Aotearoa report released monitoring data for almost 1,500 waterways nationwide. Of the monitored sites, almost two-thirds were ecologically impaired. The data found that waterway health depended on land cover, with urban areas showing the poorest average health. Louis was joined by Cawthron Institute freshwater ecologist Dr. Roger Young to talk about waterway health and the need for more awareness. Louis began by asking for an explanation of what the results mean for our waterway health.
About two-thirds of the monitored sites show some impairment ecologically on two of the indicators, the macroinvertebrate community indicator and E. coli, which was a measure of the safety for swimming for people drinking the water. So
just specifically for those who don't know, what is E. coli and the macroinvertebrate community index? What do these mean?
Yeah, E. coli is a measure of fecal indicator bacteria. So essentially, if there's sewage or animal waste getting into waterways, that's a sign of that. And it identifies the risk of people getting sick if they drink that water or swim in the water or those sort of things. The other indicator was the macroinvertebrate community index. So that's based on the community of little insects and worms and crustaceans and things that live in waterways. Some of them are very tolerant to pollution and they'll be there even in polluted systems, but some are very sensitive to pollution. So if they're missing, then that's a sign that something's going wrong. But if they're present, that's a sign of a healthy system.
Yeah, so I guess obviously the macroinvertebrate index and E. coli have shown that around two-thirds of New Zealand waterways are impaired. What impact, I guess, what significance does that have?
It means that there's somewhere where we don't want to be. There are challenges with our waterway health. A lot of that is to do with us people. The worst, we split the results by land use, and so the urban streams are the worst, the pasture streams second worst, and the most healthy streams are in native forests. So yeah, really points to us being the problem and we've got to be the solution as well. So it's not central government can't fix it all. It's everybody from changes to central government policy through to regional government through to individuals. We all have a responsibility to do something about this.
Yeah, I guess because you mentioned that it's somewhat to do with land cover, that how people use the land, how it interacts with waterways. Could you go into this a little bit more, how land cover, I guess, influences waterway health?
One of the philosophies of waterway health and waterway assessment and things is that the stream reflects the health of the valley itself. So what's going on in the catchment is reflected in the health of the stream. So say that an area of land is cleared for agriculture, say there's more chance of sedimentation erosion from that land. If there's nutrients being put on that land to encourage pasture growth, those nutrients can leach. So that's like things like nitrogen and phosphorus can leach down through the soil if they're not taken up by the plants and end up in the waterways and encourage problem aquatic plant growth in streams. If stock are getting access to waterways for drinking water and things, then they're breaking down the banks, putting more sediment into waterways and potentially pooing in the streams and raising the fecal bacteria levels, which might then flow downstream where people are swimming or collecting shellfish or those sort of things. So that's in a rural environment and the same in an urban area. We've got sediment and contaminants coming off our roofs or our cars and roads. They're all running into our waterways.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned the flow-on effects, not just downstream, but are there follow-on effects in wider context other than immediately related to waterways?
Well, this within the broader waterways from mountaintops to the seas, well, they're all connected. So what goes on land affects water and freshwater, and then what happens in freshwater can affect our estuaries and our coasts. But more broadly, our reputation as a clean, green nation and those sort of things are at risk. We've got tourists coming to New Zealand wanting to experience a nice natural environment and getting upset potentially if that's not what they find. And some of our economic development is also dependent on clean water, abundant clean water, whether that's for irrigation or for hydroelectricity use, those sort of things. So quite wide-ranging effects.
Yeah, and I guess you did mention that it's a solution that needs everyone involved, not just the central government, but individuals as well. For individuals who may think this is a issue for central government. How can they, I guess, change their actions and change how they operate normally?
Yeah, there's always things we can do. So if you're an urban dweller, there's things like washing your car on a grass area rather than letting the water run straight onto the road. Cars, again, you can advocate for getting copper-free brake pads in your car, so whenever you put the brakes on, you're not releasing rubber and copper onto the road that'll then run off and go into streams. You can advocate for your local council to upgrade the infrastructure on sewage and those sort of things, so whenever heavy rain, you don't get overflows into the waterways. So that's some of the sort of things. I guess you can look at the type of products you're using in your own house in terms of waste and what's coming out of your system, of your waste pipes of your house. In a rural area, there's, because the rural part of New Zealand covers a wider area, there's more opportunity to make a bigger difference there. So that's things like encouraging smarter farming, looking at nutrient management, doing that smart, so there's not the wastage of nutrients down through the soil profile. There's things like encouraging riparian management, keeping stock out of waterways, fencing waterways, protecting wetlands. Wetlands are the kidneys of our landscape, so we need to be, New Zealand's lost over 90% of our wetlands, so we need to really protect the ones we've got remaining, and in some cases rebuild some of those wetlands that act as the filters in our landscape.
Yeah, and I guess what you're, especially in urban environments, the things that people do normally, for me at least, it feels like when you see them happening to a little stream, to a small stream, that doesn't seem hugely important in terms of a wider context. Why are these little streams and things that are huge? What's the importance of them?
With this sort of thing, you really need to think from the ridgetops to the sea, and those little streams, there's tons of them, but that's where you can really make a difference, whether it's in an urban area or a rural area. So you can be quite effective at filtering things getting into small streams. Once they're in a small stream, they're going to flow downstream into larger streams. Once they're in there, it's hard to do anything about it. So it's actually those small streams where we can make the biggest difference. And so, we often advocate for, if people are thinking about whole catchments, where do you start? Where are the priorities? And it's actually those small streams at the top of the catchment where you can actually make a difference.
Do you think that it's partly, I guess, an awareness thing as well? Because it seems like something someone does in their house, you don't see it run away down to the streams, you don't see the impacts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we all flush things away or wash things down the sink, and that's easy just to think, that's solved now. But an understanding of where that actually goes and the effort involved in doing something about that. Is it going into pipes that are 150 years old and haven't been maintained properly or would mix with the stormwater whenever it rains? These sort of things are big issues, and I think we need to be thinking about water as a really precious resource. We're quite lucky in New Zealand that we get quite a lot of it, but it's a fresh, clean water is a precious resource and going to be under more and more demand internationally. So we need to look after what we've got, and it's on all of us to do that.
So do you think there is enough awareness in the community, especially about the impacts on urban streams?
No, I think it's easy enough to an urban stream to look down at an urban stream and think, oh, yuck, that's a funny old drain and might be full of supermarket trolleys or something like that. And you think, oh, there's nothing living in there. That's a lost cause. But it's actually surprising. Some of those small urban streams close to the coast, they have quite a lot of values. There's often quite a few of our native fish will live in those streams despite their condition. I think in Wellington, for example, some of the council's been, there's quite a lot of streams piped, so you can't actually see them as well. They would have been streams historically, but they're now running through pipes beneath our feet. We don't even know they're there, but even then, there's actually native fish and various things living in those pipe streams. So it's something that, our awareness needs to be increased.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.